Dr. Willis Patterson is my guest today. We're talking about his life, his career, his legacy, lots of different things going on in conjunction with the 2020 African American Music Conference at the University of Michigan. And Dr. Patterson, in 2015, you published your autobiography, which you called The Unlikely Saga of a Singer from Ann Arbor. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit, give us the gist of your genesis, as it were, growing up and getting interested in becoming a musician.
Well, it is an unlikely saga to me. I was born and raised in Ann Arbor, as you just said, and I always enjoyed singing, even as a youngster in church and in the community center and various. In fact, one of the prides of my youth was being in the children's choir for the Ann Arbor May Festival series under the conductorship of Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra. And I was a very proud representative of my grade school, Jones School.
Wow.
During that time. And I always wanted to sing and would have felt it incomplete, life totally incomplete, if I hadn't had an opportunity to do some singing, not on stage or in opera or necessarily, but in whatever I was doing, I wanted to have a chance to do some singing because I enjoyed my voice, frankly. And I enjoyed lyrics, and I enjoyed, of course, the melodies and the harmonies. And so I eventually wound up being able to go to the University of Michigan and to other academic institutions, Manhattan School of Music, and to study in Freiburg, Germany, and to discover other vehicles of song in which I could mold to the expression or find my voice being able to mold to the expressions inherent in those songs. It was very unlikely that it should happen to me. But it afforded me a wonderful series of experiences, both on and off stage and in association with many wonderful musicians whom I've had the pleasure to be associated over the years.
Well, I think I can safely speak for Louise when I say we both enjoy listening to you. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, you also have done some very important work in discovering and propagating songs by African-American composers and elevating them into, you know, the art song repertoire. We're going to hear a couple of songs by African-Americans, Howard Swanson and Edward Boatner. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your interest in bringing that music to the public and the importance of it.
Yes. I must say that interest was triggered by a reporters reporting on a recital that I'd done in Germany. I was on a tour of America houses in Germany, and I was doing European songs, but particularly Lieder, which I went to Germany to study because of my fascination with Lieder. Just by the way, I found them very comparable in their satisfaction to me to African-American spirituals. In any case, I got this review of my recital by, I want to say it was in, well, I can't remember the exact, at this moment, the exact city. Anyhow, he criticized the fact that I had sung for Germans European literature, which, and I'd sung it reasonably well, but he decried the fact that I had not sung art songs of American composers.
Hmm.
And I took some exception to that initially and was a little bruised by it, my ego. But I began to wonder about that because I didn't know of any American art songs. I had no experience with them and didn't know that there were such creations. So I began then to correspond with some of my previous colleagues at Virginia State, and at the Southern University in Baton Rouge, and in other institutions like Howard University, and come to find out that there were lots of them, many of them mostly unpublished. And I thought, well, golly, I want to get acquainted with some of these. So I asked a specific professor at Virginia State University, who had been a student at Howard University and studied with Todd Duncan, to send me a couple of them in Europe. And he did. That professor was Aldrich Atkins, and Louise would remember him. He sent me a couple, and they were by John Work, a fine composer at Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee. And that started my curiosity of wanting to know how many others there were. And I come to find out there were far more than I had any idea of. And so I thought, golly, this is an effort that I should get involved with. I should get involved with trying to uncover as many of these as I could, and finding so many of them by way of searching through the various libraries and collections in the country. I then decided that I would go into publishing them.
And people like me are so grateful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm grateful for having had the opportunity to be associated with that exposure of those art songs to the general public, but particularly to singing musicians and their teachers, because these are portions of the American contribution to world literature that really need to be heard and sung.
Well, speaking of singing, songs like that, we have a couple of works here now by Howard Swanson and by Edward Boatner, I Know a Valley and Every Mail Day. Are those included in any of your anthology work?
The I Know a Valley is included in the first anthology. And Every Mail Day, I believe I published that in the second anthology. I'm not certain of that now that I'm saying it. It's not in the second anthology?
It's not.
Or in the spiritual anthology?
See, Louise is acting as your secretary right now. She...
Yeah, that's all right. And I'm accustomed to being supplemented in my accuracy or inaccuracy by her.
Well, I had the pleasure of being his assistant and going through all of the music, you know, with him when I was a student. So that was the delight, getting to know this repertoire.
Well, let's listen to these two wonderful songs. Again, Willis Patterson, a fantastic bass professor emeritus at the University of Michigan, performing here on FM 91. It's Afternoon Classics. I'm Brad Cresswell. We're having a listening party today, in conjunction with the 2020 African American Music Conference at U of M. Louise Toppin, the organizer of the festival, is here, along with Dr. Patterson himself. Music by Howard Swanson and Edward Boatner on FM 91.
Thank you.
Bass Willis Patterson and pianist Herman Taylor performing two works, one by Howard Swanson called I Know a Valley and one by Edward Boatner, Every Mail Day. Music by African-American composers performed by Dr. Patterson, who is here with me today, along with Dr. Louise Toppin. Today launches the 2020 African-American Music Conference at the University of Michigan. We've been talking about that, having a little listening party today. It's also Dr. Patterson's 90th birthday coming up in November, and the entire music conference over these next few days is dedicated to Dr. Patterson. So I'm very glad that you could take some time out of your day to spend with us and tell some of these stories and share this music as well, Dr. Patterson. Let me ask you about this recording of Old Man River. Everybody knows Old Man River. I hear it sung by people who don't necessarily have the depth and the low notes, and you've got it all. I have to say, you really dig into that, that bass sound there. I love that. But you're performing with the Michigan Glee Club, which I guess you directed for some time. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was my initial concert with the Glee Club. I've been requested by them to do something with them as a part of my introduction to the role of a conductor with them. And so we came upon the fact that Old Man River has a male chorus with it, originally in the Rodgers and Hammerstein Showboat. So we decided that that would be an appropriate way to introduce me to the Glee Club audience. And that happens to be one of the things, one of the songs that my favorite bass singer, Paul Robeson, who was not only my favorite bass singer, but one of my favorite personalities on stage. I saw him initially in the stage presentation of the Shakespeare Othello in Ann Arbor when I was about 14 or so. Well, a little earlier than that. In any event, he appeared in Ann Arbor at the Old Majestic Theater with Jose Ferrer and Uta Hagen.
Oh. I shall never forget. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I had the good pleasure of being invited to go to hear him and out to see him in that play, and became an absolute devoted fan of his for the rest of my life. So I, in finding out more about him, came upon his recording of Old Man River, and I thought, wow, if I ever get a chance to do that and do justice to it, that's what I'd like to do.
Well, you absolutely did justice to it in this recording we're going to listen to. This is a recording from Willis Patterson with the Michigan Glee Club, Old Man River, from the musical Showboat here on FM 91. Old Man River, sung by Willis Patterson, joined by the Michigan Glee Club. That's a recording made many years ago when Willis Patterson was directing the Michigan Glee Club. Your first actual concert, you said, with them. Was that back in the late 60s, it would have been?
Late 60s, not in fact, 1969.
Wow. Dr. Patterson is here with me today. Dr. Louise Toppin is here as well. They're both from the University of Michigan. Willis Patterson, Professor Emeritus and former Associate Dean. He is the featured guest for the 2020 African American Music Conference at the University of Michigan. That's happening this afternoon and running through Sunday. Lots of wonderful events, all organized by Louise Toppin, and all of them organized around Willis Patterson. So we're having a listening party today. We're spending some time with Dr. Patterson. And, you know, you've been here for some time, Dr. Patterson. You're celebrating your 90th birthday. You've seen a lot. We talked about back in the early 60s when you took NBC television to task over presenting white singers in blackface, and you were able to make a change in some small way there by singing that role in A Mall and the Night Visitors yourself. I wonder if looking back and looking at current events, you know, there's so much unrest, there's so much in the way of social injustice still going on. Black Lives Matter is more prominent than ever, but they're still facing, you know, more, I would say, adversity than ever in many different ways. What do you see, you know, looking back on that and looking at current events? And as you mentioned to me, it ties in a little bit with what we're going to hear next by Matthew Rose.
Yeah. In fact, let me just start my reflections on your question by talking about Matthew Rose.
Okay.
I should tell you that I've been in the midst of doing a lot of reading of recent, and I've just finished the book Cast by... entitled Cast by Isabel Wilkerson, who is a Pulitzer Prize winner. And she does a marvelous job of comparing the caste system of India, of Nazi Germany back in the 40s, and the United States. And the United States is unfortunately comes out in third place in terms of the severity of racism, which she relabels as the American caste system, African Americans being the untouchables or comparable to the untouchables. Matthew Rose was a freshman student in composition at the undergraduate level in the mid-70s from Chicago. Wonderfully talented young black composer, pianist, who came to me. We had a good association and relationship with one with another. And he came to me saying he'd like to do a set of songs. And he wanted to do them on spiritual themes and texts. But he wanted to do them in his own arrangements. So I said, fine, good, do that. He said, my only point is that I want you to sing them. So I said, fine. And so he came, made several visits to my studio and to make sure that he was making the arrangement in a way that would complement my voice, et cetera. He came up with these songs. And I just talked with his wife, he, by the way, passed about 7 years ago prematurely with a heart condition. And his wife gave me the permission to publish those songs. I hope I will be able to do so. In any case, the songs, as I listened to them for the first time since I performed them in the 80s, I did them, early 80s, the songs put me in the mind of a dramatic portrayal of the George Floyd circumstance. George Floyd, you may remember, was the person around whom almost all of the demonstrations of the recent 2 or 3 months have been generated.
Yeah.
His last words were for his mother. And the first song in that set of three songs is "Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child." And then rehashing my circumstance of as a youth being a frequent singer in the church and very well acquainted with the church spirituals and all, and with the philosophy or the imaginative lecturing of ministers, I thought about him and the following song, which was Deep River. The Deep River being the River Jordan. And in the minds of many of African American ministers is that business of crossing over the River Jordan on the way to heaven. And the third song, and I just went off and sort of cast these songs in George Floyd's circumstance, imaginatively. The third song is Right on King Jesus. And that is the final circumstance in the transition from life to death in the African-American church, very often as it's expressed, riding with King Jesus in heaven. Now, that impact of those circumstances dramatically, and of course, Matthew Rose didn't have any idea of this, because he was just doing the spirituals in a different setting. But they are so, it is almost as if he was prescient in his setting those songs, or at least making them in such a fashion, setting them in such a fashion as caused me to make the relationship of the circumstance with George Floyd. And that, and then the final circumstance is, for me, is that is spoken to in such an eloquent and unique fashion by Isabel Wilkerson in her book, Cast. I became a fan of hers with her first book, The Warmth of Other Suns, in which she talked about the great migration of African Americans after emancipation to the Midwest and the North and the South, all the way up to Alaska, with great disappointment that what they were seeking was freedom from slavery and all, of course, but a portion of the American dream. And that's still a pursuit that unfortunately we have yet to seek the fulfillment of.
Well, you're expanding not only our art song listening repertoire, but also our reading list as well.
Yes, I'm glad to pass that along to you. I think it's a work that should be read by every American, because it gives us a view of really how we are seen by the rest of the world.
Well, let's listen to this music that you mentioned, arranged here by Matthew Rose, and thinking of it and listening to it and feeling it in terms of contemporary events and the death of George Floyd and all of the other unnecessary, unjust deaths of African Americans.
Right.
I think that his arrangement in particular kind of takes it out of that traditional repertoire when you're listening to it, because there are some unfamiliar sounds or some unfamiliar ways of approaching these well-known melodies. It was beautifully said, the way that you described it. Dr. Willis Patterson performing these three traditional African-American spirituals is arranged by Matthew Rose. Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child, Deep River, and Ride On, King Jesus.
Motherless child.
Three traditional African-American spirituals as arranged by Matthew Rose. We heard Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child, Deep River, and Ride On, King Jesus, all of them sung by Willis Patterson. Willis Patterson is my guest today, along with Louise Toppin, Willis Patterson Professor Emeritus and former Associate Dean at the University of Michigan, quite a revered figure in the world of music and beyond. And Dr. Patterson, you're about to have 3 days of an immersive experience in your life, courtesy of Dr. Toppin, who has arranged this 2020 African-American Music Conference at University of Michigan.
I am indeed bracing myself for that.
Well, we've had a wonderful time today having this listening party, listening to some of these wonderful recordings that you provided to us. And we got a couple of little pieces left, which are a bit of a departure. We've heard some art songs, some European songs, some African-American composers, music, and, you know, the classic Old Man River, and those spirituals arranged by Matthew Rose. But now we got some jazz, and I got to say, boy, you know, your voice ports just as easily from classical to jazz as anything else. It's a really smooth transition. Can you talk a little bit about your work in singing some of these jazz ballads?
Yes, yes. Much of my early listening to music, well before I called myself aspiring to be a singer, was devoted to listening to spirituals and to jazz and to pop ballads as put forth by Bing Crosby and Sarah Vaughan and Billy Eckstein. And I got my first opportunities to sing locally. They were divided between jazz and singing in the church. And singing in the church was not necessarily all spirituals. But I, of course, didn't get a chance to sing jazz in the church. So I got my first opportunities to sing jazz in some of the centers, you know, the community center and the high school. And I developed a great taste for jazz, as particularly as performed by Billy Eckstine and Sarah Vaughan. So I found that I was reasonably good at it, and had a chance to do it on my own terms at the end of my regular recitals, faculty recitals, here at the University of Michigan. I would invite friends of mine whom I'd become over the years acquainted with to accompany me in jazz combos, and I'd sing them, and I thought it was a unique way to end my recitals in a way that had not been put forth by some of my university colleagues in the voice department. So that gave me a little bit of one-upmanship, and I enjoyed it very, very much.
Well, you're still one-upping everybody else, because it's a nice, unique way to end our conversation today. I want to thank you, Dr. Patterson, for spending some time with us. I want to wish you a very happy birthday. And folks can get a lot more Willis Patterson over the next few days. In fact, right now, it's about to begin over there at University of Michigan, virtually, this festival. Louise Toppin has organized it. She's been very patiently listening with us this afternoon. Louise, you want to say anything else about the African-American Music Conference?
No, I just want to stress that it is a free conference, and that although we're going to study the legacy and talk about Willis Patterson, we also want to have an enjoyable time of looking at all that he has brought to our community and to our profession.
Well, thank you so much. And thanks again to you, Dr. Patterson, for
spending. And I want to thank you and your listeners for permitting me this opportunity to reminisce.
As I understand it, Dr. Patterson, you had a radio show at one time. So can I ask can I ask you how I'm doing?
You know, I would say you're better than average.
Better than average. I'll take it. I will absolutely take it. Well, again, Dr. Willis Patterson, Dr. Louise Toppin, thanks so much for joining us here on FM 91.
Thank you.
Trying not to learn, since this is the perfect spot to learn, teach me.